Thank you for joining the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Northwestern Division for today's Missouri River Monthly Update. This call is provided as a courtesy to congressional representatives, tribal, state, and local government officials, including levy sponsors, emergency managers, and the media. I'm Eileen Williamson, and I will be your moderator. This call is recorded and placed on the Defense Video and Imagery Distribution Service for reuse at www.dvidshub.net/unit/USACE-NWD. Your participation acknowledges your consent to be recorded. All lines have been placed on mute. To unmute your line and ask a question, press *6 and use the unmute function on your computer screen. If the forced mute function does not work, please use your phone's own mute function and do not place the call on hold. The question and answer session will take place at the end of the call. As a reminder, this will be the last call that takes place using the WebEx call hosting service. Our next call in June will be using Microsoft Teams, and we'll send out information on that at that time. Our agenda for today includes, from the National Weather Service, Mr. Ben Ciprell, and from the Missouri River Water Management Division, John Remus and his staff. With that, I'll hand the call over to Ben.
Thank you, Eileen. And good afternoon, everyone. I want to thank the Corps again for inviting NOAA to take part in this series of calls. So if we could go to the next slide, please, which I'll get to here in a moment. I just want to touch on a few things with regards to the basin, kind of bring us up to speed where we've been at since we had our last call a couple of months ago. So with regards to snowpack, which is basically presently right now across the mountainous headwaters of the Missouri River Basin, it remains confined to the highest elevations of Colorado, Wyoming, and Montana, and is presently running near to slightly below average. With the accumulation season largely complete at this point, the basin is now transitioning into melt. Snowpack in the upper Missouri peaked slightly below normal and continues to melt at a steady pace, with a substantial portion of the peak snow water equivalent still in place. And if we go further south in the Platte River Basin, that peak near normal with roughly 3/4 of the seasonal snowpack still remaining heading into May. So while these conditions support near average runoff potential, timing and the rate of melt will be key factors in determining stream flow responses and downstream water supply conditions over the coming weeks. So that being said, our water supply forecasts, which we develop here at the National Weather Service, were issued yesterday. Our May numbers suggest that now through September, mountain runoff volumes again will be near or below normal. So running down the list here for the Milk River at the Eastern Crossing, about 43% of normal natural runoff. Missouri River above Fort Peck at 84%. The Yellowstone River at Sydney at 81%. With the North Platte, the Seminole inflow at 74%. And finally, with the South Platte at 60%. Overall, with the basin, soil moisture conditions remain poor across much of the middle and upper Missouri River Basin at this point. Though slight improvements have been noted across central Montana, eastern North Dakota, and much of South Dakota, as we've seen a series of wet weather systems. As a result, the latest drought monitor released on, actually, I apologize, the latest drought monitor, which was released this morning, shows that overall drought coverage in the basin has declined from 62% in March to roughly 48% of this as of this morning. Now, basin wide, it's roughly about 78% that the drought monitor is reporting abnormally dry conditions, including that 48% which are in drought. So despite the predominantly dry conditions basin wide, flooding has occurred since our last call. Just to recap here, with winter snowfall that was followed by periods of mild weather, that kept soil saturated across the lower basin, particularly in eastern Kansas and in Missouri. As a result, even a modest 1 to 2 inch rainfall event has triggered minor to moderate flooding across those tributaries during the late winter period. Now, as we've gone into spring, this trend persisted in April when a series of strong storm systems and heavy rains led to more significant flooding across the same areas. Maybe some of you are recalling the events that took place across the lower Mississippi and into the Ohio River valleys. We saw some of that rain trickle up into our neck of the woods, and that's why soils remain very saturated in the lower basin. So that being said, with regards to this slide, looking ahead, our office issues 90-day river outlooks towards the end of each month. The most recent 90-day outlook was run in late April, and it covers the three-month period from now through late July. So that's the map that I'm showing on this slide, which depicts the results of this river outlook at the 400 locations we monitor across the basin. Flood risk is denoted by the color of the particular river station, with green meaning less than a 50% chance for flooding, orange being greater than 50% for minor flooding, red for moderate, and purple for major. So with our most recent river outlook, there's indications that areas with greater than a 50/50 chance of seeing flooding through late July is in southeast Nebraska, eastern Kansas, and the state of Missouri, with minor to moderate flooding being outlooked. Again, orange being minor, red being moderate. The risk for flooding between now and late July is, of course, dependent on the timing and location of any significant rain events on the order of 1 to 2 inches, if not higher. And as we near the middle of this three-month period, which would be June, thunderstorm activity in the lower basin will continue, probably driving that flooding in that area. I just want to thank the Corps again. This concludes the National Weather Service flood potential brief, and I'll hand it back over to you, Eileen.
Thanks, Ben. And I'm going to hand it over to John.
Thank you, Arlene, and thank you, Ben, for your insights. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I'm John Remus, Chief of the Missouri River Basin Water Management Division. Our office is responsible for regulating the Missouri River Main Stem System. This is the fourth of our 2025 monthly stakeholder calls. I will provide some general remarks, and then I will turn the discussion over to my senior staff for more detailed information. As always, I want to assure everyone in the basin that the Corps of Engineers remains fully committed to our flood risk reduction mission, protecting people and businesses when we can from significant runoff events that pose a threat to human health and safety. Further, it is important to understand that the volume, timing, and location at which runoff enters the system significantly impacts the timing and amount of water released from the reservoirs. Each runoff season or flood event is unique. Care should be taken when comparing one event to another. We at the Corps of Engineers understand the importance of the Missouri River in providing water for irrigation, municipal, and industrial uses throughout the basin. We operate the system to meet the water supply requirements of the basin to the extent reasonably possible. There is presently, and will be, adequate water in the reservoirs and in the river reaches between the reservoirs and below the system to serve all water supply needs. I do want to remind everyone that the Corps of Engineers does not provide or guarantee access to the water. Maintaining access to the water is the individual facility owner-operator's responsibility. Further, we will continue to meet our statutory obligations to operate the Missouri River Main Stem Reservoir System for its authorized purposes, as described in the Master Water Control Manual. We will also continue to comply with all laws and the provisions of the 2018 Biological Opinion. Lastly, the runoff forecast and projected reservoir releases and pool levels that Kevin Stom and Mike Swenson will be discussing are based on the best available information. As we move through the year, actual conditions may be different. This concludes my opening remarks. Thank you very much. I will now turn the discussion over to Kevin Stahl.
All right. Thank you, John. Okay, so next slide, Eileen. Okay, so before I get into a discussion of the runoff forecast, I'm just going to review some of the basin conditions over the last 3 months, and then also the climate outlooks going forward in the Missouri Basin. So some of these, which Ben has already discussed a little. First of all, looking back at the observed temperature and precipitation for February, March, and April, temperatures were several degrees below normal, mostly centered in Montana, where we had some colder temperatures in February prior to the plain snowmelt runoff. While in the lower basin states, temperatures were several degrees above normal. And then looking at the precipitation in the lower right as a percent of normal, much of the Missouri Basin has been very dry, and particularly in Nebraska, Kansas, southern Iowa, northern Missouri. However, there were some areas which had above normal precipitation over the last 3 months, which include Wyoming, southern Montana, and then that storm system which extended up into the Dakotas a little bit. Next slide. So soil moisture is factored into the forecast as an indicator of wet and dry hydrologic basin conditions. The soil moisture, as calculated by the Climate Prediction Center soil model, is depicted as both a soil moisture ranking percentile on the left and an anomaly of soil moisture. And this is all for the last day of April. Both images indicate below normal soil moisture in western Montana, western North Dakota, and much of the central Missouri River Basin, especially in eastern Wyoming and Nebraska. Next slide. The National Drought Monitor categorizes drought conditions based on severity. So as of May 6th, over 79% of the basin was impacted by some form of dryness or drought condition. 48% of the basin was in an official drought condition. Drought conditions are most severe in those aforementioned areas of the basin which had dry soil moisture. So in looking at this map, you can see western North Dakota, eastern Wyoming, and much of Nebraska. Drought conditions have worsened since last year. So in looking at the table, compared to last year, 45% of the basin area was impacted by dryness or drought. And then the current seasonal drought outlook indicates drought persisting in the central and northern basin with some additional development through the end of July. Next slide. The Climate Prediction Center develops monthly and seasonal temperature and precipitation outlooks, which indicate the probability that conditions will be above normal, normal, and below normal. For the month of May, the CPC is indicating there is an above normal probability that temperatures will be warmer than normal. The May precipitation outlook indicates a higher probability for dryness in the northern plains and a slight increase in the chance for above normal precipitation extending from southwest Montana into Kansas. Next slide. Over the May through July period, the CPC is indicating equal chances for all three temperature possibilities in the northern plains. However, there is an increased chance for above normal temperatures in the mountains and the plains of the lower basin. The precipitation outlook indicates an increased chance for below normal precipitation in most of the basin through the end of July. Now I'm on slide 11. So the mountain snowpack is a significant contributor to runoff into Fort Peck and Garrison reservoirs. The mountain snowpack typically peaks around April 17th in both of these basins, and the snowmelt runoff typically enters the reservoirs in May, June, and July. The mountain snowpack in the above Fort Peck reach, which is shown in the left graph, peaked at 92% of average on April 5th, and as of May 4th, it was 69% of that annual peak. So it has been melting a little bit more rapidly. The mountain snowpack in the Fort Peck to Garrison reach, which is shown in the right graph, peaked at 95% of average on April 5th, and as of May 4th, it was 84% of what that peak was on the 5th. Slide 12. Great. Thanks. The 2025 calendar year runoff forecast, which is based on the conditions I described previously, is 20.0 million acre feet, about 78% of average. And it is highlighted in red on this graph. And this graph shows the computed or the calculated runoff for the Upper Missouri River Basin since 1898. We also show the different deciles and the median conditions on this map. So as you can see, the 2025 forecast is fairly close to what we call a lower quartile runoff or the lower 25% of runoff years. Next slide. So the below average runoff forecast for 2025 reflects the below average plain snowpack runoff, which occurred in March and April, the current drier than normal soil moisture conditions in the upper basin, and the below average mountain snowpack. So as seen on this slide, the observed runoff was much below average during the first 4 months of the calendar year. The cumulative runoff was 69% of average at the end of April. We are expecting below average runoff conditions to continue during the high runoff periods of May through July, the months when the mountain snowpack melts. And then runoff is expected to be below average for each month for the remainder of the calendar year. Next slide. Finally, this graphic provides a status update on the Upper Missouri River Monitoring Network as more stations have been completed over the past year. There are 269 sites completed and transmitting data out of the 540 total proposed sites. 80 sites are scheduled for installation through this fiscal year, and the remaining sites are scheduled for fiscal year 26 and 27. Each station is designed to measure meteorological data, precipitation, snow depth, soil moisture, and soil temperature at five different depths. Data provided by these stations will help improve products such as the no-risk snow map, the national drought monitor, and also to inform our runoff forecast. So in summary, the 2025 calendar year runoff forecast is 20 million acre feet, which is 78% of average. I can now turn the webinar over to Mike Swenson to discuss the monthly studies.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. To start with, Gavin's Point releases are currently at 25,500 CFS. Releases will likely remain at that rate for a few more days and then be adjusted as needed to meet the downstream targets. Turning to slide 16 here, system storage is currently at 50.4 million acre feet, 5.7 million acre feet below the base of the annual flood control zone. With respect to the monthly simulations or the monthly studies, the basic simulation uses the runoff forecast that Kevin just discussed. Due to the amount of variability that can occur over the next several months, we also develop an upper and lower runoff that are then used in the upper and lower basic simulations. These simulations provide a range of reservoir elevations and releases that may be expected under the different runoff scenarios. The discussion to follow will focus on the basic or most likely runoff forecast. Information on the other simulations is posted on our webpage. Moving on to slide 17 and looking at the upper three reservoirs, Fort Peck, Garrison, and Owyhee are currently 6.4, 6.8, and 10.3 feet below the base of their respective flood control pools. As shown on the basic forecast, Fort Peck Reservoir is expected to peak under elevation 2229, which is about 1 foot higher than its current elevation. Peak releases are expected to average about 10,500 CFS this summer. Garrison Reservoir is expected to peak near elevation 1837, just slightly under the base of the flood control pool. Peak releases are expected to average about 24,000 CFS this summer. Owyhee Reservoir likely peaked earlier this spring and is expected to fluctuate near its current elevation during the next 2 months. Peak releases are expected to average about 30,000 CFS this summer. Next slide. Now on slide 18 here, which details the master manual system storage checks. The service level is used to determine releases from Gavin's Point Dam to support navigation, and in combination with the bank stabilization and navigation project to help provide the downstream navigation channel. Navigation service level at the start of the navigation flow support season is typically based on the March 15th system storage. We are currently providing flow support at a level 4,000 CFS below full service based on the March 15th storage check. For this level of service on the basic simulation, Gavin's Point monthly average releases range from approximately 28,000 to 30,000 CFS. Releases will depend on downstream conditions and will be reduced in response to downstream flooding. The effectiveness of the reservoir system to reduce peak stages along the lower river diminishes as you move downstream due to the travel time. The service level for the remainder of the navigation flow support season and the navigation season length are based on the July 1st system storage. Under the basic forecast, flow support for navigation would be reduced to approximately 5,000 CFS below full service after July 1. There would be a normal 8-month flow support season. Next slide. Energy generation at the main stem dams under the basic simulations is 8.6 billion kilowatt hours. The long-term average is 9.4 billion kilowatt hours. And the last slide here, which is slide 20, shows the Missouri River Basin weekly update, which is found on our website at the address shown at the top of the page. This webpage gives a general overview of the current conditions in the Missouri River Basin, and is updated weekly, usually on Tuesday morning. That concludes my comments. I'll turn it back to Eileen.
Thanks, Mike. As a reminder, our next call will be held June 5th, and again, we'll be using a different platform for hosting that call, and we will provide the instructions for using that platform with the invitation. We have 60 people on the line, and we'll move to the question and answer. To come off mute, press star 6 or use the unmute function on your computer screen. We'll go in alphabetical order by state. For members of the media on the line, we do have contact information and position titles for today's speakers. Start with the state of Iowa. Kansas. Missouri. Montana. Again, star 6 or unmute on your computer screen. Nebraska. North Dakota.
Eileen?
Yes.
This is Clay Careful with the North Dakota Department of Water Resources. And I was looking at the 3-week forecast, and the release for Garrison is going to be around 26,000 CFS this summer. And I think that's a little higher than it has been the last couple of years. I think it's been about 22,000 in over the summer. And I'm just wondering why it's a little higher this summer. Is it to support Oahe? Thanks.
Thanks, Clay. Mike?
I guess, Clay, for reference there, we did reduce the summer release on the latest monthly forecast. We had been showing 26,000, and now we're showing 24,000. So just make note of that. And in terms of it being slightly higher than the last couple summers, yeah, I mean, part of it's just the distribution of runoff. We have more runoff forecasted from the mountain snow this year than we've had the last couple years, so that's part of it. And then also, yeah, to support, you know, Oahe's pool somewhat.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Clay. Any other questions, state of North Dakota? South Dakota?
Elaine, this is Jeff Dooley at the City of North Sioux City. I apologize in advance if this question has been asked and answered in previous meetings, but you know, we hear a lot about the federal cuts, job cuts at various agencies, and I haven't really heard anything from about the National Weather Service or the Corps in particular, but I'm just curious to see if what kind of impacts any cuts have had on the Corps or on the National Weather Service in terms of being able to provide the valuable projections and things that you provide during heavy flooding times. You know, we're going into the storm season or getting deeper into the storm season. I just kind of wanted a perspective on that, if that's possible.
Yeah, so I can't speak to impacts to the National Weather Service or National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration. They would have to provide information on that. As far as the Corps and our staff, we have not had any staff affected, and we'll continue to serve the responsibilities that we have and with the staff that we have.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Any others? State of South Dakota. Wyoming. Any others that I may have missed or that had a hard time getting to the unmute button? Back to you, John.
Thank you, Eileen. As we move through the spring and into the summer, I encourage everyone to monitor our website for information on releases and pool levels. Also, please pay attention to the weather forecast and local conditions. Conditions can change and sometimes change quite rapidly. Being on or near water is inherently dangerous, so please plan accordingly and exercise safety first. With that, I will offer one last chance for questions before ending the call. Going once, going twice, three times. With that, thank you all, and I will end the call. Our next call will be June 5th.
Thank you.